To thank our distinguished colleague from Iran for raising some very important points, and it is these kind of points that help us clarify the paper and elaborate the concept further. His first comment was about paragraph 11, the non-paper, and I think all of us must have at some point of time experienced cut and paste job. I think it's partly because of that, and I must take full responsibility for it. Initially, the idea was actually to put a non-paper so that there is no finality to the paper and we are able to freely and openly seek views of state parties. However, it got converted in the form of a working paper, so I take full responsibility. We should have removed that non-paper from paragraph 11. Our apologies for that. The second apology is for the omission about the authorization of the Security Council. Yes, that is correct. And we would insert that phrase back, that the database can be used even while awaiting the response of the Security Council. So I thank our distinguished colleague from Iran for both the points and bringing it to our attention. As to the types of assistance that can be registered with regard to the database, I think that is where I had clarified through a concrete example of the Russian mobile biomedical units. But let me also draw upon the experience from OPCW, which I share with Alex and Daniel, as well as Mr. Ali from Iran. There are things that will need to be registered both in Article 10 and Article 11. And let's take an example of Article 11 database of OPCW, and then there is an Article 10 database of OPCW for assistance and protection. And let's take a very small example of GCMS protection gear. These two are also offered under Article 11 of the OPCW for states parties which are requiring GCMS, for example, or protection gear, or many other things, detection masks, for example, detection equipment. But the same are also offered under Article 10. And there is no way that we can avoid that redundancy. So I wanted to make that very clear that there is bound to be a duplication, redundancy. And that's where we had suggested that when the two databases crosstalk, and that's technically possible, we can certainly draw upon either for Article 10 purposes, and state parties can clarify that they're going to donate GCMS, for example. I'm giving you an example from OPCW, my own experience. Either they are donating GCMS or they are making a GCMS available in times of a chemical attack on a state party, where this GCMS or 10 GCMS would be made available at a short notice, and then OPCW is going to fly those equipment made available to the victim. And therefore, we need to be flexible about the types of assistance that can be registered. The third point was that there is duplication with other agencies, organizations. Yes, again, that is bound to be there. The UNSGM actually also applies, and again, once again, I'm going back to the Chemical Weapons Convention. UNSGM, as of date, also applies to the Chemical Weapons Convention, to the OPCW. It has formally not been taken off. However, OPCW also maintains a roster of experts under Article 10. And there is a full-fledged roster which is updated regularly. So I don't see any duplication here. If UNSGM has a roster of experts, it does not deter BWCISU from taking the services of those experts in terms of an emergency. Second point here is Article 7 is about assistance. UNSGM is not about assistance, it's about investigation. And therefore, these experts will be drawn upon for different purposes, and the mandates will be very different. Third, the voluntary trust fund. The proposal is not clear. Yes, I had admitted that we have to actually first agree to establishment of a trust fund, and at the same time, we can also work on the modalities. As to the financial implications of the database, why we could not indicate a concrete figure in the proposal, because we have agreed to a modular approach. and till the stage parties agree to certain modalities and contours of the database, it would be impossible to give an estimate. And this is all based on our feedback received from stage parties. I also wish to clarify that when we said that the types of assistance that may be registered, requested, and offered by stage parties, it is not just an idea by India and France. These ideas have been formulated based on the feedback that was received over a series of three workshops. So these are the ideas of stage parties. They do not belong only to India and France. We just were the initiators of the proposal, but most ideas in this working paper belong to stage parties. These are their proposals, these are their ideas, which we have compiled, consolidated, and put them in a cogent form. It would definitely have a financial implication, and I made that clear in my presentation that, however, we believe that the financial implications would be surpassed by the benefits that this database would offer. As to the excess of users, and my distinguished colleague raised the point that if the state party has the authority to give excess, I believe it is based on the premise that state parties are responsible actors and they will not do anything irresponsible. And if that is correct, if the state parties are responsible actors, what are we afraid of? That they will give, which state party is going to give excess to an unscrupulous NGO? I don't believe so. As to the use of NGOs, I don't need to elaborate any further. My distinguished colleague from the United States had explained that because of the rich experience that NGOs possess in administering assistance, and based on their vast experience of dealing with emergencies in various parts of the world, be those natural hazards or human-made emergencies or security events, I think we can only benefit from participation of NGOs. Any exclusion of NGOs from such an exercise would be detrimental to the collective cause of the convention. So in our view, NGOs must participate. We must benefit from their experience. And they should be channeled through the state parties, and that is a control that each state party is going to exercise with due diligence. So that is where I would stop, and I'd be happy to respond to any further clarifications that may be raised tomorrow by a distinguished colleague from Iran. Thank you.